Agents of the U.S. Bureau of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, working in Iraq with U.S. troops, have recovered almost 700 artifacts and nearly 40,000 manuscripts feared looted from the National Museum in Baghdad. They include a broken statue of an Assyrian king from the 9th century B.C. and a cornerstone from King Nebuchadnezzar's 7th century B.C. palace in Babylon. Some of the objects were returned after rewards or amnesty were promised. Others were discovered hidden in vaults where museum staff had placed them before the war began.
Some 400 objects from ancient Mesopotamia, assembled from museum collections around the world, are now on view at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. The exhibition Art of the First Cities opened yesterday. It's a show of treasures produced in the kingdoms of that region from 4,000 years ago. David Darcy reports that the exhibition represents one of the most comprehensive collections ever of a pivotal period in world art.
At the entrance to the Art of the First Cities galleries at the Met, a huge photograph shows the Vase of Uruk, an alabaster vessel decorated with reliefs of animals, plants, and men carrying food. It's an homage to fertility, and it's missing from the Baghdad Museum. Philippe de Montebello, the Met's director, told a press conference that the show's opening was not necessarily a moment in Near Eastern art to celebrate.
What we have on view here in this museum at this moment may well turn out to be the bulk of what has survived from these great civilizations. And I hope fervently that these words turn out in time to sound like melodrama rather than truth.
More than 4,000 years ago, craftsmen in Mesopotamia had already developed a refined style of sculpture, which they decorated with gold and with blue lapis lazuli. They could depict the natural world realistically, but they were more interested in the supernatural, in figures that combined human and animal forms. Men with bulls' heads, bulls with human beards, and lions with wings. Joan Aruz is curator of Art of the First Cities.
We're at the beginning of everything, and in the first cities, when religion began to become codified and had to be expressed in visual terms, the question must have arisen, how do we represent the divine world? One way of doing it, which has persisted throughout art history, was to combine elements of different animals and also humans into a single creature.
Almost all of the figures in the exhibition, produced in the area between the Mediterranean and what's now Pakistan, seem to express two qualities, she says, potency and power.
The objects that were made in the ancient Near East were not just made as works of art. They were made to function. And they functioned in the service of the gods, to be dedicated in their temples, or to illustrate cultic ritual, or they were made for the kings being the servants of the gods, kingship being lowered from heaven.
Mesopotamia contained the cities of Ur, known as the birthplace of Abraham, and Uruk nearby, which had a population of 50,000 before 2000 BC. It was a mostly agricultural region, so kings had to import materials like gold and lapis from Afghanistan and copper used for bronze from the Persian Gulf. The farther materials had to travel, the more valuable they were, and the more status they brought to the kings who owned them. Even with some 400 objects on view, the focus at the Met is on objects that are not there. It's still not clear just how much was stolen or smashed in the looting of the Baghdad Museum, or how much was hidden away. Given the poor documentation at the Baghdad Museum, even before its archives were ransacked, we may not know for years, says John Curtis, an archaeologist and conservator at the British Museum. Curtis is part of the team investigating the Baghdad thefts.
It's unfortunate, of course, that the opening of the exhibition has been overshadowed by recent events in Iraq. And, of course, one is constantly reminded of loss and deprivation in Iraq by walking through the exhibition. For example, there is a wonderful Sumerian statue, the seated statue, which reminds us that there are two Sumerian statues missing from Baghdad. There's a bronze bull from Ubaid, its counterpart in Iraq, is now missing. There are rosettes from Ubaid, again, which have gone from the Iraq Museum.
The Met's curators conceived of Art of the First Cities in 1997, at a time when they were even talking to Iraqi specialists about collaborating and possibly lending to the show. Borrowing from Iraq and Iran, two countries with some of the richest holdings in this field, was banned by U.S. law. But the museum formed its own coalition of the willing from dozens of museums in more than a dozen countries. The British Museum loaned, for the first time, the Standard of Ur, a freestanding 3rd millennium BC mosaic with scenes of feasting at court on one side and brutal scenes of war on the other. France, Germany, and Russia, who opposed the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, supported the Met exhibition and loaned objects. As of 6 weeks ago, Syria had promised to lend 90 objects, about one-fifth of the exhibition, and the Met had promised a lasting relationship in exchange. But officials in Damascus changed their minds when some in Washington accused Syria of harboring Iraqi leaders. Just last week, Syria agreed to lend 3 statues that had been part of a tour that stopped in Atlanta and Montreal. Tamam Fakush, the German-trained head of the Syrian Antiquities Service, gave the official reason for withholding the other loans.
When a museum abroad asks us for 100 objects from one particular historical period, like the 3rd millennium BC, it's dangerous to send them all together at the same time. And it also hurts our museums and our tourists to empty our galleries of works from one entire period just to be part of an outside exhibition.
Since the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, bringing international loans to the U.S., especially from the Middle East, has become complicated, says Maruk Tarapur, associate director of exhibitions at the Met, who arranged loans from Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and even Uzbekistan, a relative newcomer to the Western Museum circuit. She says she'd like to think of this show as opening a diplomatic window, that the willingness to loan objects might suggest a possibility for dialogue on other issues.
Ultimately, it boils down to trust. You know, if you can earn their trust and reassure them that their objects are in good hands and that they have something to gain by participating in your exhibition, that you're not the only one that gets all the kudos, that there is a reason for them to gain in whatever way, visibility, in exposure to our way of doing things, in borrowing our staff or supplies or whatever, then I think it becomes easier. But you've always got to plow through all of that. To build trust is not an easy thing. It takes time. And time's the one commodity we're always short of.
Trust is limited too. The cost and risk of organizing art of the first cities will keep the exhibition from traveling to any other venue. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.